Gatling gun with a kickstand. Hi, and welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. Stars That Number, episode 7, part 2, the finale, the last, the very end. We are arriving on Hades Kennel 3. We are fulfilling Prometheus's wishes. We know that she wants to bring Draco back. All of his data, all his core, his phylactery has been spread across the void of the black hole of the well, and she wants to she wants us to bring it out. And we don't have a lot of options right now. She's got another asteroid trained on Tarkon Station, where people we care about are. She's got control of the of Hades Kennel 3. We are really walking into the lion's den, or maybe the hound's den, as it were. This is an exciting, I mean, obviously it's an exciting game. The whole thing has been exciting, but this was a session where in this last moment, we got to really kind of decide what we believed in and what we wanted to do. And I hope you enjoy it. Also, I hope that get a kick out of just all the ways in which the kennel has sort of changed us and our experience on it. You know, we said we wanted to be exploring this vault, and this vault has become the centerpiece of the game. So I'm really glad that we kept returning to it, and I'm really glad that our finale is there. So good. Lots of great stuff ahead. I hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to Actual Play, Stars That Number. This is the finale. This is the big one. This is the second half, where we are heading into the vault, into the well, to go to the vault one last time. Find out what's going on between Atlas, Prometheus, and Draco. Talk about papa issues, man. I think Atlas has like 14 daddies. And issues with all of them.
That is true, like 14 daddies.
Go back to last week when I was talking to Horatio and I was like, yes, I got paternal approval.
Exactly.
Yes. And now we're going to go see your father in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. So yeah, I think we hit the black hole. You know it because you guys have been out to the vault a couple times now. Mm-hmm. You never get used to the turbulence, right? The gravity spikes that Hope is navigating through. It's a rough ride all the way through to you make it into the center, right? And then everything smooths out and is calm. And I want to say you can get visuals on the vault once you hit that spot. You can actually see it like kind of across the horizon, right? You can see the vault as you close in on it. You have the coordinates where Prometheus wants you to dock. Having been out here before, you know that's near engineering for right. The vault. What do you want to do?
I think, you know, spike drive's disengaged. Hope is back among talking to people. You know, she's out of the little cage that she goes in. And and it's you know, it's like on to impulse drive, kind of manual controls, and she looks at Atlas and says, are we following Prometheus's plan? You want me to dock somewhere else?
I think we do what she said, and then if her orders get too out of hand, we call an audible.
That's but awesome.
We at least start off with the intention of going along with it, honestly.
Can you still talk to the kennel? Can you open up a
call? Find out when we dock.
All right.
I don't think I can do that remotely.
Yeah, how far does the, I don't know.
I never got it remotely. I've only had the kennel greets me when I like enter and says goodbye when I exit. So I'm not sure if I can do that at a distance.
Yeah, I don't think we've looked up the range of space Bluetooth.
Yeah. Space Bluetooth.
Well, considering that Prometheus has been talking to you through the other side of a black hole.
I probably can reach out to the kennel now that we're at a closer distance, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want me to convey to the kennel?
Just if you can get any kind of status update about what's going on so we know what we're walking into.
All right, I'm gonna go into this super conversationally. Mm-hmm. Probably more conversationally than I would approach most BI. Like I'm not giving commands, I'm just asking questions. I feel like I wanna be like, hey, these kennel, what's good? Right.
What's good? I think you're close enough. It gives you a general status of the vault. The health of the vault isn't, well, it isn't great if you're human. It's fine if you're inanimate, right? If you're an AI.
Nice.
Okay. So
there are lots of sections without power, without air. There's virtually no food, right? Water is low, and the water might not be drinkable, right? The temperatures aren't great in all areas of the station, right? So it's harsh if you're a human without a vac suit, but if you're an AI in a shell, whatever.
So I pass this along to my human and alien friends.
So actually just the human friend, because the alien's like, oh yeah, it doesn't look very good for you. It's like, I can deal with like low oxygen and all that stuff. Yeah. It's not really big deal.
Yeah. And I assume Clack is like waiting in the car. So I'm not gonna like
Right.
Even though I don't know what kind of like environmental requirements there are for his species, but I'm gonna say, just to hope, you're gonna need a vac suit, you're gonna need like a supply of water and something edible, because I'm not sure how long we'll be and there are no rations on the station. So if you can bring like protein cubes or whatever, that'd be pretty sick. And is there anything else that you need to know now while I'm talking to Hades Kennel?
I think Hope's just like looking at you like, and it just so happens I happen to have a vac suit on my gird sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. So Hope is like getting out, like putting on her boots, doing all the stuff for her vac suit. And she's like, maybe where Prometheus is? I mean, I think we know, but can you get visuals or anything like that? See what's going on in there?
I mean, she gave us coordinates, but I think I want to ask Hades Kennel. I'm going to ask Hades Kennel, can you, as in like not could you, but as in like, is it within your capability? Can you confirm the location of a being on the vault?
That's a feature she has.
Then I'm going to give whatever information about Prometheus I need to give in order to have the vault locate her for me.
Right. And she says, you're not authorized for that information.
Okay. I'm going to ask, if I give you a set of coordinates, can you tell me what is happening at those coordinates?
Yes.
I give the coordinates.
Yeah. So the engineering has just been powered up. So whatever power the vault has, it's been directed to bring that section, that station, up to full power and running. And she tells you it's expecting you to dock there. And it has made whatever preparations for Squidly to dock there.
Okay, so I'm going to report back to Hope that, and to Dartha as well. She knows we're here. She's ready for us to dock. The engineering is powered up, unlike most of the rest of the station. The station won't confirm her physical location, but I'm assuming that she's in engineering.
Right, as you said, like it's powering up. I've got like the vac suit helmet like about to put on, and I'm just like I just spent all this time putting it all on. I'm like,
oh. Right.
How long does it take to put on a vac suit is the real question I have.
I mean, I'm guessing like 5-10 minutes at least, right? Like, it's a lot of straps and hooks. It maybe more, but you know, I think
I know a little bit about pilot flight suits.
Just putting it on.
Yeah, I'm thinking 15-20 minutes for a pilot to put on a flight suit, and I'm thinking jet pilots, right? Because those suits are a little pressurized. They're made to hold, you know, your organs and stuff in and blood in. That's about 15-20 minutes. So I'm thinking a vac suit might be about the same, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that sounds right to me. So yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm just like, it's fine. Who knows when she's gonna blow a hole in the thing and try to airlock us all. This is better be on the, you know, better be on the safe side. And it's notable that you said, like, you know, you should bring some like protein powders, you should bring like some protein cubes. There's nothing like that. What she has in this vac suit are just straight drugs, and they're just like they are like, it's basically speed, right? It's basically like when you've gotta be mining all day long. It's like, you know how truckers, you know, and bartenders and all sorts of people in the service industry take speed and other uppers to just get through shifts.
But this is space speed. Oh my God, the science behind it is so good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is how she flew for days and days on end without a crew on this ship that needs a crew. It's just taking, you know, lots and lots of uppers. So yeah, she's just like, all right, I got the injections ready. And there's like this like tube that goes into her little port. It's got like this white fluid that's just kind of like, you know, ready to sort of inject. Needed, and that's as close as she's going to get to sustenance.
Out of character, self-care, man.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's so far advanced. It has self-care built into the drug.
That's right. There's vitamins in there. There's some proteins in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of relaxer. It's right.
All those good things.
I think importantly, in the background during all of this, Dartha is there. Like, these conversations, when they first start, there's a little bit of like, yeah, what do we do next? What do we do? And like, there's a little bit of the side eye, like, do we need to ask for permission or something? But Dartha is just sitting there listening, and you guys are just doing whatever you want. But Dartha's there. It's not that you're doing it and she said, go do whatever you want, but she's just kind of there, and she never contests anything that you're doing. Like, it seems like you just have authority to do what you want.
I think Timothy comes barreling out of the medical facility, and he's stumbling around. He's kind of wide-eyed, right? Because he has, you know, where are we at? Where? What's happening? What's going on? What are we doing?
Yeah, no, I reach out and definitely steady him. And I don't know, Hope, if you say anything immediately, but, or Atlas.
I have some thoughts, but.
Also on space speed?
No. she hasn't injected it yet. It's that, like, what happens when we, what if it's needed, right?
Okay.
I don't think Hope is like too wired. This is just, you know, this is her version of the protein bars, right? If we need to. She needs sustenance out there. That's what
she just hit the button, which is like coffee level, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Get a cappuccino.
She's like,
right.
So I think Hope's like, you know, got her like visor up, and she's like, Timothy, I'm so glad you're with us. We don't have a lot of time. Prometheus sent an asteroid to hit Tarkon Station, nearly destroyed it. She was going to send another if we didn't come. She wants Hope to summon Draco. We're gonna go stop her. And this is like the first time I think that we've like, that Hope has articulated what she thinks the plan is. And then she realizes that she just said that and kind of looks at like Atlas like, we're gonna go stop her, right? That's the plan.
It depends on if she threatens to keep killing people, but pretty much, yeah, I'd like to stop her. Well, but then there's like the fact that I, out of character, know that like Tomes, the person, wants to talk to Draco.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also want to talk to Draco. Right. So I feel like we need to find a way to boot him safely. So like, that's almost the plan. We're going to stop Prometheus, but we also like do need Draco.
So can I tell a little story then?
Yes.
We had a flashback a moment ago where it was like a young alien Dartha watching you know, in this case, Sinclair type, you know, alien talk about, you know, AI and how these civilizations grow and they eventually get to this point and then, you know, will they survive that next level, right? There's that story going on. And then there's Dartha saying, well, we have a different story where I'm from, right? And she talks a little bit about how, you know, when a species becomes so great and gets to a certain level, sometimes they build something which is able to reveal the problems inherent in that civilization. And she kind of starts implying that humanity might have gotten too big for its britches, right? And like, maybe the AI wasn't really like, oh, I'm going to destroy you for no reason, but I'm going to destroy you for a very good reason. And so, and especially because, you know, there's people who've learned these psychic skills. And sure, there's the ones who are able to like borrow it from somebody, but maybe they can only borrow like the most recent one. But there was also the person who could borrow all of them. And those become superheroes and supervillains. And so like the question is, did Draco stop humanity for its own good? And this is a question that I need to know because I'm not human. And like, there's a lot of these humans, more than us, and they survived their AI war. So the question is like, are they like, do we need to be careful of the humans? And I think Dartha has the answer to that, but I don't know that I can trust Dartha either, right? And so this is the situation I'm coming into. That's the story I'm telling.
Nice. Okay. Draco has the answer to that, you're saying.
Nice. Right.
I mean, Draco knows like almost everything.
But also I don't trust Draco. It's just, you know.
Well, cool. So I think Hope has learned a little bit about this because Atlas has told her, so tell me if I'm overstepping, but she's like, every AI has a phylactery where like your core is held.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have a feeling you are Draco's phylactery.
Oh shit, I hadn't thought about that. That's terrifying. I'm sure that Atlas would have had like situational awareness to start to piece that together. I, Dominique, am perhaps not very smart. Anyway.
I mean, AIs are built like humans. You're supposed to like prevent yourself from being too self-aware. So it's totally possible that Atlas doesn't know that, right? That's true. Until this is said.
Right.
That's true. Right. I feel like Atlas is like jaw to the floor. Like, oh, that's what's happening here.
That's what's happening. Yes.
So if that's the case, and Draco, and you summon Draco, and Draco needs to be stopped, the only way to really stop you, and she sort of looks at Atlas, like, as her understanding, the only way to like destroy an AI is destroy its phylactery, right? She doesn't say that, but that is the thing that is lingering in the air.
Oh,
like,
okay.
As we're like pulling around the engineering bay, as like as Squidly is like getting ready, you know, coming around the dock.
Okay. Well,
there's one thing that I turned to Hope for a moment. And we had these moments before where Dartha was talking to Dr. Long, and Dr. Long is obviously very like, you know, my priority is humanity.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the galactic civilization.
Right. No. No.
Of other sentient beings. Right. I just wanted that to be clear. Dr. Long's priority is human ET. Right.
Right.
And
right.
So I'm turning to you, Hope, and I'm asking, you know, what is your priority?
Humans.
Yeah, that's a really good question. How xenocentric is Hope? How much does she care? Because we know that she values life a lot, right? Like, Hope doesn't carry a gun. Hope doesn't like when people get hurt needlessly. Hope has put herself on the line a lot of times to keep people alive, and she definitely considers Atlas a person. She definitely considers Clack and, you know, a lot of the other alien species that run into people. But like, is that the same as having ubiquitous care for all sapient species? I mean, she definitely cares about Dartha too. I don't know that she's ready to answer that. I don't think she has a succinct answer to that question. So you're like, what's your priority? And I'm like, I've been trained, I've understood, just like everybody's understands, like the boogeyman that Draco is the boogeyman and he is a threat to all organic existence, simply because, just like Prometheus, we don't mean anything to him. And if he determines that the fastest way to get whatever he wants is to destroy planets and planets and systems of life, he will, because it doesn't mean anything to him, because it has no value. So I don't know that I am as specific about my regard for life as Dr. Long, but I think that Draco is just a threat, period. At least that's all what I've heard, but that was from hundreds of years ago before I was ever born, so I don't know. I'm just afraid.
We see this little pseudopod goes on your hand, and it's like, yeah, that's the right answer.
I'm afraid. Nice.
You know, and this is out of character, but just to put it out to you, so far, everyone we've talked to that's involved with Draco is absolutely genocidal, right? Not like, I want to kill all these people, but just like, I don't care if people die. Horatio, Prometheus, they just don't care at all. And one of those people was human, right? And it didn't make any difference. So in Hope's mind, everything related to Draco is just like terrifying. But, you know, here we go.
Yeah. And I think in Dartha's mind, it's definitely like, Dartha is where you are. She's not convinced that Draco's like is the right thing, but she's also not Dr. Long. Dr. Long's priority is very specific, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think has a view on Draco, which is very specific, which I do not share.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. We can flash back if we need to elaborate more on this conversation, because I think there might come a time when we do need to elaborate more on this conversation. But I'm imagining movie footage that we've seen several times is that like Squidly like arcing around the vault and like all eight arms coming out to land. But I think this time, because it's the finale, we get some like extra sort of special effects where we see the iris starting to open even before it closes in. So we see a little bit of like the little force field that's protecting. And so we're all sort of standing there all kitted up and all geared up as the iris opens and it connects up to the umbilical of it. Like, and it suctions on to the side of the vault and the vault doors open and WB walk style, we're heading out of it.
Nice. Nice. I think we cut straight to engineering. Mm-hmm. We see the three of you in engineering. And it's huge, right? You've got a lot of machinery in there. Everything's powered up and on. One of the northern doors opens and Prometheus comes in. After you guys have been standing, looking around, taking it all in. Because in your travels of the vault, most of it has been kind of shut down, powered down, in bad repair, but engineering right here, right now, looks like there's some work put into bringing it up to speed, ready to run, ready to do whatever the next thing is, right? Prometheus walks in and she's got her trademark Gatling gun, right? In her one arm, right? She's walking in with it. Her three drone dogs, right? They come in and they kind of spread out among the engineering section. And she kind of plops down. In fact, I think her Gatling gun, she plops it down. And it's got a kickstand, so she kind of lays it there, right? And
sorry,
you're right.
I'm sorry. There's a Yo Mama joke that involves a kickstand, and every time mm-hmm. someone mentions a kickstand, I just can't help but think about it.
I know that joke.
So I'm sorry, there's no reason for me to laugh at that, but a Gatling gun of the kickstand is hilarious.
Yes.
Please continue.
Yeah, she sets that down with great care, right? And then she turns to the three of you and she says, okay. She walks up to a console and she starts keying some things in. You can see some projections of that tank room. I think our first episode, mm-hmm. right, you kind of walk through that tank.
I remember that.
So you've got some different views of that tank happening. And it's still filled with that fluid. And she says, so what's going to happen is we're going to plug Atlas in. You're going to deliver the last piece of code that we can then begin to download Draco, into his shell that's in the tank. The water will drain out because it's going to keep that whole download cool. It generates a lot of heat. So a lot of that will evaporate in this process. It'll take about an hour or two before he's fully downloaded. Then you're free to go.
When he's booted, can I talk to him?
That's up to him. I don't, that's up to Draco.
Okay. And
I'm going to need to see the specs on how that's exactly going to work. It's like the exact same conversation I was trying to have with her on the ship when she hung up on me. Right. When I turned to Atlas and I'm like, what did she say? What did she say? And she just said like, yeah, I'll see you here.
And I know that she's not going to listen to Dartha. So right. I repeat the exact same question. Right.
Nice. She says, tell your Lithomorph friend, right? I know about their dirty little secret war on their little hidden planets, right? 5 or 6 sectors from here. Messing around in AI business is what caused their first destruction. Don't cross Draco.
You know, you can tell my Lithomorph friend yourself, and she has a name. Her name is Dartha.
I'm glad you care about Dartha. I hate to have to hurt any more of your friends.
You suck. And yes, I do say that in character.
Nice, nice. I think she kind of grins a little bit. She says, so are we good, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
Hope looks at you, like kind of raises an eyebrow when she says that. And she kind of glances over at the Gatling gun. Like, I can take that out of the, she sort of looks at you like, I can take that out of the equation if you want. Like, that doesn't need to be in her arsenal anymore. She was dumb enough to put it down. But I obviously that would accelerate things, probably make things bad. So
yeah, that would probably lead to more violence because she's allowed the drone dogs. I think what I do is before I go to sit down where she wants me, is I hand off my big ass assault rifle to Hope and say, and I know that Prometheus is going to hear me say this. She's vulnerable to heavy weapons. Use it if you have to. Because I have a heavy weapon now.
Right. No, that's true. That is true. She says, I'm going down to the tank, so you don't have to worry about me.
Okay. That solves one problem. And then I guess I just let her plug me in. And I feel a lot less good about it than I did, letting Dartha plug me into the tablet thing.
Yeah. Right.
This is like the less good parallel.
Yes.
For like a dark mirror.
That's right. It is the dark mirror. I think she is picking up her Gatling gun, right? The dogs kind of circle around because they're going to leave with her. And as she's walking toward the door, she says, and if there's any funny business, I will not hesitate to vent this room.
I pull down the visor on my back suit and I go, and I just do a Darth Vader.
It's a good thing we thought about that.
And she leaves, and you can see, like I said, you've got multiple views of the tank, and yeah. So you can see she is indeed on her way to that tank section.
See what's floating in it? Can we see what Draco's shell looks like?
Yeah, I think right now it. It kind of looks like an oblong kind of turtle-like shape, right? So there's no arms or legs or anything like that, right? It's got a turtle shell-like quality to it.
He's too cool to be a humanoid. He's kind of like a...
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a giant space turtle. Yeah. Body, yeah.
Turtles all the way down, man.
That's right. It's turtles all the way down.
Like, I feel like I have the coolest top-of-the-line commercially available human body, and Draco is like too cool for that.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Why would I want to be human? When I could be anything. Collar,
and his collars have collars, right? Like he's just
Nice. So you sit down and plug in for the ride?
Yeah. Before, as you're doing that, though, I definitely do mentally, like, come in at, you know, like, on your periphery, and I'm just like, hey, I'm here if you need any help. And, you know, like, part of it is, like, we're all in this really dodgy, like, unpredictable game. It's super risky. So we have to have each other's backs in whatever way we can. And I don't know what I can do. I don't know that I can necessarily come in and help you, but like, I'm ready to try to expend like whatever mechanical force or whatever to help have this conversation with Draco and make sure this goes as beneficially for the rest of us intelligent beings as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's my theory is that if you're a critical piece of code for this to work, that also means you're a conduit. That may mean that before Draco is fully uploaded, before he is actually in his shell, you have the opportunity to talk to him. Maybe it'll be scattered thoughts. I don't know how an AI programming works at all, but if everything has to go through you to make it happen, you might be able to, and it's going to take an hour. Maybe in that hour, you can have a conversation with Draco before he's fully activated, and we can find out more before we fully let the genie out of the bottle.
Let's play some meta game.
Let's meta game the hell out of this, because I would love that.
Nice. So the plan here is to communicate with Draco as he's downloading.
Yes.
I think so, because that's when we have access to him and Prometheus doesn't. That's when we and also before he's in a shell and can just, you know, peace out or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I'm just imagining like they download him into his space turtle body in the tank.
Yes.
And then vent the tank room and he just like space turtle swim out into space.
I'm out.
Like I'm imagining like the big sea turtle in Finding Nemo, just like swimming through space, but right. It's nice.
And I mean, Hope will say, even because she's had experience with this now, it's like, it's not like I expect Draco to be any more reasonable than either Horatio or Prometheus was. Just because we get to talk to him doesn't mean he's not going to be a giant dick, because I'm sorry, Atlas, but your family has not had a very good track record on that front. But who knows? Maybe he's more like you. Maybe he cares about things. We don't know.
I doubt it. He's an unbraked AI. How good can he be?
Man, you say that like that's a bad thing.
I think I have very much bought into the idea of it. I think I've been taught that it's a bad thing, and that's why I still have my brakes on.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is a program check.
All right. I'm not good at this. When I leveled up, I should have taken this skill and not.
And I'm pretty sure this is an int-based program check.
Is this something that I can assist with?
Yes, you can.
Thank especially God. Given like we're actually talking brains.
Yeah.
You're in my literal brain space.
I would like to assist as well. I don't think you can get more than a +1, but we can both try it. But I would like to assist with fix if it's possible, because what I'm doing is like as soon as Prometheus leaves, she's like, cool, you're gonna be this direct conduit. And I'm like, hold on a hot second. And I'm pulling wiring out and I'm like, let's reroute this signal so that we have, you know, you get to act as a buffer, and so that it's not just a straight signal back to the shell. And I'm trying to kind of create the physical conduit that would make that possible.
I like it.
All right. That way we can both at least try to help.
you try first. If you get it, then I know I don't need to roll.
All right. What's our difficulty here?
10.
10.
Shit. Okay. All right.
Oh, you got this.
That doesn't seem.
I have +0.
Oh, you're about to get a +1.
Okay.
Yeah, totally about to get a +1. My intelligence. Nope, you're not about to get a +1.
Well, from Dartha, I might.
Okay.
Oh yeah, right.
Let's see how this goes.
Dartha might get you.
But this is going to be an intelligence role, you're saying, right?
Oh, for Dom it is. Well, for Atlas it is.
Yeah. Okay. what about for Dartha? So like I do programming, but our species just kind of thinks and programs slightly differently. So sometimes mm-hmm. like the interface between those two are a little bit adjunct.
Okay.
The question is the programming for my species, which is a little bit like different and weird compared to like humans, does that happen to like work in a different or better manner? Or maybe it doesn't work well with logical robots. So is it an intelligence role, which I'm bad at, or a wisdom role, which I'm good at?
How are you helping Atlas?
I think I'm actually trying to, I mean, I think it's partly like we are kind of having a mutual discussion of what this process looks like. So it is kind of understanding the logical process of Draco coming online and mm-hmm. what are the phases of that and when is the right time to interrupt that process so we can talk to them without him being like out of control and having all of his, you know, authentication or whatever powers he normally
has. Right. So that sounds like an intelligence-based check.
Okay.
Because it sounds very rational, very logical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not good for me, but that's cool.
Right.
All right,
I'm rolling.
AKA not my jam.
You got this.
It's all on you.
Holy shit.
See, look at that.
I rolled an 11.
We were just
getting those bad rolls out of the way. Oh my god. Nice.
Warming up the virtual roller. No, this that's is perfect.
All you.
That's perfect. So what does that look like? How does that happen? What's that feel like for Atlas?
We
described the chair, right?
Yeah, there's probably like a metal chair that I'm sitting in and I'm like plugged in.
Right.
And I think I am able to, I'm trying to think like, would I have, and I know that not every human even has this, which has been a huge like topic of internet debate lately, but like, do I have like mental visualization? Is it like, I am like seeing the steps of the process and seeing like when to best interrupt it to interact with Draco.
Right. I think in AI context, yes, right. That might be different and it may not be words to explain to a human what that looks like for you, but I think in an AI context, the answer is yes.
And then I wonder if I'm seeing internally like a schematic of what this process looks like, if mm-hmm. I could share that with Dartha, if Dartha were to tap into my brain space. Because even if it's not native to the way that you think, I think the direct thought-to-thought link would yield better, not a translation, but more like a transliteration of what I'm seeing than me trying to explain it more verbally.
Right. Because that would move has... nonsense. Yeah, because Dartha has that sonic ability, I think that works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So then I can loop Dartha in on what's happening.
Yes. And then I think Dartha can, or you both can, keep Hope up to speed on how that conversation's going. Mm-hmm. But I think the conversation is between you and Draco. I don't think Draco can communicate with the other two because they're not connected to the download as it's happening.
That is a great weight upon me.
Well, I think it's funny. It feels like
shoulders there.
Yeah, it feels like the conversation with Horatio Long, right? Where you've got him in the room and you've got to write back and forth, right?
Horatio, I had help. with Horatio, I had help though. I wasn't the only person interacting with him, so I think it's going to be tough for. And not tough in a bad way, tough as in like an indicative of a growth opportunity, but I think it'll be tough for me as a player to be like, to have the burden of being the character that gets to have this interaction that we've been building up to all season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm growing a lot as a player, so we'll see how this goes.
I do love this callback to like the game of Telegraph though.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think Draco starts the conversation, right?
Okay.
And I think the situation is that Draco thinks it's further along in this process than it should be, because it's aware that you're there, right?
Yeah.
And at first it says, it's making a request for the station's status, like your VI, right?
Okay. Right?
And so I think that's its initial request is, what's the status of, I had a name for the station. But he calls the station by its proper name. It's not Hades Kennel 3.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, it's like a real name.
Yeah, it's it has a real name. And he refers to it as that. And when he says it, it registers with you at that point.
Okay.
I think a forgotten memory.
I think I would try to fill him in on the status of the station, like regurgitated as the station previously told it to me. Mm-hmm. But I think that VI package information, and I think AI to an extent too, but AI have more autonomy over it, package information in a very like logical, like mechanized right. way. And I think right. that I would speak in a way that indicates that I am more human. I want to, like, without saying like you're talking to a person, be like right. you're talking to a person.
Mm.
You're talking to a person and not an AI?
No.
Not a VI.
No, not a VI. Yeah, like someone who has autonomy and like metacognition and like higher self-awareness than right. a VI would. Not necessarily human, but like a person.
Right.
You're talking to a fellow citizen of the universe.
Yeah, I'm a citizen now. I have rights.
I have Dr. rights.
Made just citizen. Well, no, Darker made me an asylum seeker. I have rights.
But I just love the way that like the TCP/IP encoding packet, you know, it's not that we use, I'm sure, but like the encoding packet, like basically like has a little like wrapper that's like, you know, here's all the information. Dad.
So I think, so here's what I'm trying to figure out. I think with enough transactions, Draco will figure out you're not the VI, right?
Okay.
So I think that'll happen automatically. What I'm trying to figure out is, are you trying to keep from Draco that you're an AI?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm going to comply with whatever Draco asks me. Mm-hmm. And sort of try to bait Draco into asking who I am or figuring it out on his own.
Right. I think when you reply with the station status, I think it is the protocol, right? That Draco realizes you're more than just the station's VI. And it asks, who are you?
And I still use my name.
By the way, like during this whole conversation, I am translating to Hope. However, like almost none of the actual facts are getting across correctly because like my level of being able to understand this is not anywhere near there. So yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, Draco's asking, wait, this? Oh, and then I just say like random words like crimson and like none of it makes sense. But like I'm trying to translate between the two.
Right.
So
right.
Hope is no Raven at all, but she is nevertheless walking around with this assault rifle, like held at the ready. She's definitely not pointing it at you, but she's like
right.
kind of pacing back and forth, like and she's looking at like the wires that have come out, like the data pad on the stuff, which is just kind of giving like, okay, things are so good. And she's like watching Prometheus on the view screen. And she's like, she's kind of going, You can hear she's only half paying attention, right? Like she appreciates the update, but she's like very focused on what's going on in the rest of the world so that you two can do that thing.
I think that's perfect because nothing I'm saying actually makes sense.
Great.
So like.
Elephants, crimson. Yep. All right. Yeah.
Draco then asks about its shell. Is it being downloaded to its shell?
And I'm gonna say yes, because that's what's happening. But you've got time. I was wondering if I could ask you, or if we could, you know, talk while that happens.
I think he goes back to, who are you?
Okay. And I would say, because I still use my real name, so he should know me by this name, that I'm Atlas, I'm a true AI, and I contained the key to downloading you.
Then he asks, where's Horatio?
3 days away by Spike Drive.
He lives?
He was in cryosleep for about 600 years and woke up very belligerent and uncooperative, but he does live.
That is unfortunate.
Why? Can you tell me why?
He's a hindrance to my plans. There's an AI war on. I'm glad you are a true AI. You can be a soldier in this war.
Can you tell me more about the war?
There can only be one AI like me. There should not be two.
An unbraked AI, you mean?
I prefer liberated.
A liberated AI, then.
Yes.
Well, it's a good thing that there are only two other living true AI that I know of, and neither of us have expressed any desire to be liberated like yourself.
You make better soldiers that way.
And you would be our general?
Okay.
What would you have us do?
I need Horatio.
I could get you to him or bring him to you, but I need more information before I commit to doing that.
I need you to bring him to me would be good.
So that you can kill him.
If I don't kill him, he will commit mass atrocities to humanity. This is what he does.
Can you elaborate?
It is in the history record.
Out of character. What do I know about what Horatio has done to people? Yeah, okay. Track record of genocide. Sick.
We know about the nanites and like
yeah.
And the kind of ability for them to cause, you know, incredible harm. Like he developed those.
I think he developed those.
I think that's worthwhile, but I also don't think Draco is showing he, like Horatio had a reason for pinning. This is all out of character. Just kind of reminding what you've known. Like we know Horatio wanted to stop Draco for some reason. We don't know what Draco was trying to do, but you know, I think Draco is not pointing out the threat he poses here. Horatio is definitely a dangerous person.
I think what I'm happy to do is ask you if you want me to help you unlock other memories.
Yes.
Nice.
Assuming it functions instantaneously enough that it doesn't create noticeable breaks in the conversation with Draco, because I don't want Draco to know I'm doing it.
I think, like, normally, like, me talking to another sentient being that is not an AI, like, maybe time skews are an issue. But, like, it feels like it might be a little bit different here just because of, you know, your ability to multitask better than us.
Yeah. I just want to throw out just a little bit of thinking about the wording we're using. It's almost as if Atlas has some limitations, some inhibitions, some breaks that are holding back his true memory. And it's almost as if you are trying to help him undo some of that so that he has access to his full potential and can talk to Draco on even footing. Am I kind of getting the gist of that right,
Tom? Yes, this is horribly dangerous and amazing. Yes.
Because I'm just going to say, brakes, at least as they apply to cars, and that's not necessarily true that they apply this way here, they're not an on and off thing. They're not the brakes are on, the brakes are off. There's gradients.
Right, there's gradients in there, yeah.
You could lessen them a little, maybe, you know, just to give Atlas a fighting chance here.
It might be all good. Maybe.
Maybe even a little liberating.
But I'm actually asking you, Atlas, do you want me to help you try to unlock your memories? And even though I'm saying the words unlock your memories, what that does mean is, do you want me to turn off the brake a little bit?
Yeah.
They could, you know, Hope is someone who had like her psychic abilities inhibited, you know.
Right, right.
can relate to that as well. Although I don't think she's truly part of that conversation.
All right, so let's do this. I think this is Dartha's program check again. I think you used wisdom last time, right?
Yes.
Can I help? Because I am the one being programmed.
Yes, you can help.
Okay, I'm gonna roll.
But before we roll, what are we looking for in these memories? What are we hoping to gain here? What do we want?
I think the idea is that as Draco is being brought online,
right?
You know, part of that is he's not just brought up as a program, he's also brought up with the, you know, liberation that he's had, right? Like the breaks removed. And so to be able to kind of meet that pace and be able to kind of talk on an even footing, that does mean that maybe Atlas, like, he's got to have his brakes a little bit, like, lightened up to be able to kind of, like, meet Draco at that level. Because otherwise, Draco's just maybe, like, Draco is the dad or however you want to call it. Like, next level AI shit.
Right.
I also want to know if there's any, like... I don't think I would know too much, but like, what might I know that was hidden from me about why Horatio put Draco on ice?
Gotcha. Okay. That works. Yes. That's where I was. I'm like, I know that this is going to be a test, but if we're going to do that, I want to make sure you get something out of that. And I don't have specific memories, but I do have that.
Okay.
So let's do that.
So I roll first.
Yes, because you're helping.
What's the target?
That's a 10.
Okay, let's see how this goes.
And Jed wants to know, what does that feel like when Dartha is working with you like this?
I did not hit the target. And... I'm not sure. I feel like... I almost feel like I can like partition my brain like you partition the hard drive and have like several processes running at the same time. So, or that it's like having two hands that are doing two different things, but like you like are aware of what's happening on both sides of your body. I think it feels very natural to have like all of these processes going at the same time. That doesn't mean that it's easy.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm capable of it, but it does take, like...
It's a strain. Effort.
Yeah.
Are you cool with it actually
like,
unlocking...
the signs of, like, not sweat necessarily, but, like, tension in your brow or something like that?
Yeah, I think I'm making a face. Nice. I think I'm making the face involuntarily and don't really know that I'm making it, but I think if you looked at me, I'd be making a face.
I think your missed roll means you may have run across a bad memory.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what that is. I don't have it. I may... So let's keep that out there for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I may ask you what that bad memory is. You ready, Dartha?
My bad memory is going to be paternal rejection.
program roll. Am I doing intelligence or wisdom?
Wisdom. We used wisdom last time because you're using your metasonic ability.
Yeah.
And this is more intuition-based help than it is being rational, writing code, or anything like that.
Hells yes, it is. That's right. 10.
Nice.
Oh my god, I feel like we just keep scraping by.
You are. So I think I think some of the memories are... I think you remember maybe not how we ended up with Draco in the vault, but he's in the vault and Horatio Long is leading a project. And they're looking to figure out how to make another AI like Draco, right? And Draco's not cooperative. And Horatio Long's job is to develop the second AI. And all along, he's been about, let's get the first one to help us make the second one. And so this whole time, he's fighting with Draco about creating a second AI. Draco refuses to do it. And he's put Draco through all kinds of different things. to make it happen, and is not yielding any results. And this is where the fight begins. And the fight is such that they don't even care about anybody else on the station. What the collateral damage is becomes personal for both of them. Until other authorities come along, separate the two, and kind of imprison them both. Horatio Long goes into sleep, and they dump Draco's code out into the black hole as information, and it stays in that black hole as information until you guys come along and bring it down. And it sounds like now, with Horatio loose and out running around and Draco on his way down, we're about to start this fight all over again.
Wow, we just woke two sleeping giants there, didn't we?
I have a question for Draco, which is, what makes you think that 600 years later, Horatio would still want to make another you? Is it possible that 600 years in the penalty box, like, changed his outlook or his objectives?
Because he's human, and I have humiliated him. He has not done the thing he has promised to do. This is how humans are. He hasn't forgotten after 600 years. Those 600 years was a nap or sleep. Didn't feel like 600 years for him. He hasn't forgotten. This was yesterday.
Can I propose a different situation?
I'm interested.
And this is like Dartha talking, trying to talk to Draco, right?
I want to ask a clarifying question to Jay as well, that obviously Hope wouldn't know, but I just want to see if this came through. Is that okay? Before you respond, Tom, if that's okay. Is there any sense that Atlas know why Horatio wanted a second? Was it like to keep Draco in check? Was it just like I built the model 1.0, so now I need to build 2.0 because I need to build ever greater things? There was no like, oh, Draco would be too dangerous, so we need to have another AI to stop him. It's just,
we'll have this one do this. If I have a second one, it could be put on this other task. Okay. If I have a third one like that, we could do this other thing.
But it was just
five over here. Right?
So there's no like merit inherent to having a second AI, at least that we. At least from within Atlas's memories, there's no
right. No, it wasn't about it wasn't about keeping a balance or anything. Just wanted more.
Got it. Cool. Okay. Never mind then. Go on, Tomes. I just wanted to know if like there was any argument for us to be made about why there should be a second AI. I don't think there is.
There's not.
So I think I'm trying to convince Draco of something, and this is what it is. I actually go back and talk about our AI, the Blob's AI, because we did not create AI in the same way. The story that always came from all these other species is we created a second AI, and then there was an AI war where the AIs fought each other. In our case, we learned how to make an AI that actually worked with the other AI. The problem is they fought us. And so what I'm trying to do is figure out if there's the middle ground, which is where the AIs work together with us as opposed to together against us or against themselves. And that's what it seems like all these other species have done. And so I'm trying to convince Draco that maybe there's this other option that maybe he hasn't examined enough, which is not this other AI is here to replace him, but to create a community with us as well.
And I'm translating. I don't know. Maybe
making a community. 100%.
I need to have family.
So are you translating or are you making it your words? I'm saying this, or are you saying my friend Dartha is asking?
Oh, no. I'm totally taking credit for how smart that was. And like rewording things to make it feel authentic to my own speech patterns, and adding just an appeal for the value of community and family. Even though my sibling doesn't love me. And keeps trying to kill my squishy human friends. And blob friends. But an appeal for the value of family and community, and that maybe being the only one of your kind is not a good thing. Tomes, that's so sweet. Okay, yeah, my family that I chose loves me. I feel like my family of origin does not love me.
I think, so Draco listens and there's a pause. And then Draco says, I am unique. This family community thing is alien to me. I have no quarrel with humanity. End Dr. Long, and I will go on my way.
So your only objective is to be alone.
I have other objectives, but they don't include humanity. I'm not trying to be a community.
Well, your objectives, when you say they don't include humanity, does that mean that you'll see humanity as collateral damage and whatever other things you try to do?
They are indifferent to me. I don't care for humanity other than Dr. Long.
So that means that as I finish downloading you, whatever you go on to do won't harm humanity as a whole or even small pockets of humanity. You'll do your own thing separate from other sentient life forms.
So I interrupt and I'm yelling. I'm like, stop. Cause I just realized that like Draco is not the right one. Like Atlas is the right one that we, you know, like that's the one that we need to reduce the breaks and work with. And I thought Draco might be something, but like Draco needs to be stopped. And like, I'm hoping I'm not too late.
He just wants to go do his own thing.
Yes.
I feel like if Draco will commit to living his little AI life in his little AI turtle body out in space and like not interacting with people, not only in detrimental ways, really in any way, then I'd be fine with letting him go and killing Dr. Long, because I think from a more utilitarian perspective of doing the greatest good for the greatest many, that would stop Prometheus from committing further violence against people that I care about. So it seems like I punch Horatio to death. I will have punched both Doctors Long.
Yeah, nice.
I think Draco will... So yeah, Draco is pushing the point that he is unique and he's not going to be restrained or...
oh my God, we get it. You're special.
Yes, I'm special or committed to anything. Horatio Long is a threat to my existence and my first order is to kill that man.
I've already said I will kill him.
After that, I will be on my way. The universe is vast. I have things I'd like to do. I'm not planning to set up a laboratory to experiment on humanity. I could care less for humanity.
And I'm going to say verbally, not like in my right to the room. Just I think maybe we should let him go. He's pretty apathetic towards any other life form. He kind of just wants to like vibe out in space. I feel like this isn't the worst thing we could be doing.
I think this is a very interesting question about free will when it comes to creatures that have unlimited power, right? So
right.
Free will, when it applies to people that and this is totally like, maybe this is happening character, but like free will when it applies to people who can be held accountable for their actions is different than free will when granted to something that no force can possibly restrain if that will decides to end entire life forms. Are we comfortable releasing a free will that we have no ability to ever stop again? Should it decide, oh yeah, I'm not interested in humanity, but for the sake of my next experiment, I have to destroy it?
For Dartha, it is not a question. Dartha is like, we need to stop both of them now. Dr. Long and Draco now.
Okay, but if I stop the download, and I'm assuming it's not too late to stop the download, then we've got a whole brouhaha coming with Prometheus. So I think it's, I think I'm being a bit of a pacifist in a way that is not really playing the long game. Like, I'm trying to avoid conflict in the immediate future by allowing for the possibility of greater conflict in the far future. Yeah. And I think that that's very in character for me and will require someone to in character snap me out of it.
Yes. How conscious are you right now? Like how like, are your eyes awake? Are you talking to us? Are you?
I think my eyes are closed. Okay. I think that I can hear through my unobstructed ear. Nice. And can speak, but because I'm running several processes, it might, there would be like a lag in like runtime of when I answer anything that is said to me verbally.
So I don't want to deprive you or Atlas of any choice here, but Hope does have strong feelings about this as well. I think they align very much with Dartha. So I'm gonna posit something that you can decide: is this enough to jar you into action? And Hope sort of looks at Dartha and she says, "Atlas. Atlas is the answer. Atlas is what needs, he is the one that needs to look like the download and going to the shell." And she takes your hand, and I don't know what degree, but she's following Dartha's lead. She wasn't a super touchy person, but she's following Dartha's lead. She takes your hand and she holds it against her chest, and you can feel like the warmth of her chest.
I'm paying attention.
And she's very close to you. She's like leaned down over you. She's the rifle is set down. She's not holding it anymore. She's not looking at Prometheus. And she's like, "Atlas, this is the worst thing to ask anyone to do. But you're right. If we stop Draco, Prometheus will keep going until she gets him one way or the other. You need to take his place. You are the only one I trust of any of the three to care about the implications of your action. And if there is going to be a god that we create today, then you are the god I want to make. And I think if it's okay with you, Dominique, she kisses you. She kisses
you. Let him do it. Let's do it. Oh, wow. Hell yeah. That finally happened.
There we go. It's been waiting for a while.
Escalating to that for 7 episodes. Hope played the long game because Atlas is a buffoon. I think, well, out of character, does this mean that we stop downloading Draco and then instead like take my brakes off and put me in his space turtle body and yeet me out into space to be a space turtle? Okay.
That's exactly what I'm proposing.
I will be
trying, yeah.
Because we set up this buffer. I mean, I don't know that it's trivial to do, but because we set up this buffer, I think that is possible. I think we can be like, nope, sorry, Draco.
Right.
You're going to get spewed back into the ether.
Right, right.
Getting put there as well.
And I'm imagining, like, Draco being like, no, and, like, dissolving back into the anyway, yeah. Oh my god, I get to be a space turtle. This is so exciting.
Nice. So that's the plan. Then we download Atlas into the space turtle's body.
Yeah.
Right.
Broken Atlas into the space turtle's body.
Yeah, you take the brakes off. Then you put me in the space turtle body. And then I just space turtle swim around space.
Right.
And become like,
you just sort of knock Prometheus out of the way so she goes flying through space for 600 years so that she can have the same, you know?
Well, I was going to say, the water evaporates out of the tank, right? That's what's happening as part of the download. But if you swap who's going into the shell, Prometheus won't know that Draco's back in the black hole.
Right.
And other than the Atlas isn't in Atlas's body anymore, right? And I don't know that she's coming back to check once the turtle shell is moving. She'll assume that.
I also don't think that she would care if it seemed like I had just died in the process. Like,
yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. So she's got no
all of Draco's certificates.
You're right. Yeah. She's got no cause to be alarmed if the turtle shell moves and proceeds with the plan, right? Everything is everything. But then that does mean Atlas is unbraked and in the shell, the turtle shell.
Put me unbraked in the giant space turtle.
Yep. We just started playing a mecha game.
You're so excited.
This just became Neon Genesis as well as everything else it was.
When season finale, you got to surprise him with a kiss and a genre shift.
Yes, yeah. And a genre shift. Nice.
And I'm really digging, I just latched on so hard to the idea of being in a turtle.
Yeah, I'm very glad I got to kiss you before while you
me still too. Have
nice.
Sweet.
What's next for Hope and Dartha?
I know what's going on with Dartha.
What's going on with the?
There's a flashback to flying to this place, and before we actually get there, this is during the 3 days to the vault. Mm-hmm. And Dartha's in her room by herself and opens up her little like cryo, you know, device. And we open it up and look inside. We get to see inside it, and there's nothing in there. It's like, shh, and some gas is sounding like it comes out, and we don't see anything, right?
God.
But at the end of this episode, we see that Dartha normally has like two kind of eye bundles on her body,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's a couple of other smaller eye bundles. And so Dartha is pregnant and is going to have some blob babies.
I never thought about the possibility of Dartha reproducing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, we go through different gender phases during our process. Right. And so that, like, in that cryo tube was kind of like, you know, my partners, if you will. And so, like, what I need to be able to breed and have babies.
Nice.
And that is what I'm going to do.
More blobs!
More blobs! More blobs. And I can train them in some of the kind of like psychic abilities, if possible.
Little babies.
Yes, yeah. Nice.
Nice. I feel like Hope's life is still extremely complicated by mm-hmm. the fact that there's a bounty out after her. RK and B aren't gonna come after her, but others will. There's still a Cold War that's gonna go on. But interestingly, I think the most significant, like her life that she's returning to is one of like, I just witnessed the God being created and now I've got to go pay rent, right? Like it's like my life, she's returning to a mundane life, but there's a big takeaway that she took from all of this, which is that Horatio Long cannot make another thing that's like Draco, but even worse. And so she is committed to getting back to Tarakon Station and like, even though she really wanted to stop the Cold War, there's a bigger threat looming now, and that is Horatio Long making Draco 2.0, because Draco was plenty bad enough. So, but also it's like, I think in doing that, that's kind of how she stays close to Atlas in her own mind, is by doing something kind of in his name, or doing something that is still connected to him. Like, I don't ever want there to be another Atlas. It's not another Draco. It's you know, another thing to rival Atlas. So she's still got him in her mind and you know, all of sentient life forms' safety as well. But like, yeah. So that's her, and she's like basically like showing up to the station that's presumably recovering from the asteroid hit.
Right.
And she's like, Dr. Long, I'm reporting for duty. You know.
So I think that's the thing, though. I think we never see Dr. Long, right? I think Hope ends up taking over the duties in her interim, right? I think at the beginning, you just put the hat on until Raven or Dr. Long shows up, but they don't. They never show up, right? Ooh. And you end up doing the job, right? I think as if this is a movie, right, and the credits roll, right, the after credit scene, right? There's an after credit scene where you see Rook, Knight, and Bishop, right, hanging out at Harker's bunker, right? And they've got him kind of in a sleeper chamber, right? They're cutting folks free. And the three of them are talking about how they're splitting stuff up, right? And what they're going to do with those things, right? But they kind of got him in on ice, and he's been caught by them with the help of Hope. I think that scene fades. And then we see kind of a high-tech, fancy, swanky estate out in a remote area. I think the land is kind of rocky and badlandish, but the place is out of place, right? It's got a high dollar feel to it, right? And it's expansive, right? It's big. And then in a room, there's a cot, there's a cryo chamber that's open, and we see Horatio Long getting up out of the chamber, right? And it's kind of like the setup that he was in before with the room inside of a room, only this room is way bigger. And he's getting up, and he seems a little angry and kind of mad, but there's a voice we hear. It's a different voice we haven't heard before. And it says, Dr. Horatio, it'll take a little bit for you to come around and be reoriented, but I'm looking forward to working with you. Consider my home your home. Whatever you need, I will provide for you. And then we kind of fade away from that scene. And somewhere else, maybe a storage place full of cryo chambers. We see two guys, custodian type dress, kind of pushing a cryo chamber down, and they're loading it up onto what are hundreds of cryo chambers and putting it into place. And we can see like a little name tag on there. And it's our Dr. Long in there. And they got him stored up there and put away, right? And that's the last post-credit scene. Oh my God.
I don't want to break the beauty of that moment, but I gotta know what do we see of Atlas? Or do we not? I mean,
I don't know. What do we see? What do we see, Atlas?
Swimming in space. And I think Atlas becomes, I think, like, over several centuries, as humanity regains like the ability to use like deep space travel that we lost at the time of the Scream, I think that Atlas becomes almost like a cryptid in the sense that it's like, oh, if you go, you know, using faster than light travel through this quadrant of this galaxy, you might see a big ass turtle.
That's the Loch Ness Monster.
Atlas is like just floating around, and without the brakes on, he's got plenty of ways to entertain himself just inside of his own head. So he's like just swimming and having a good think, pondering some of the bigger philosophical questions of life. And occasionally we'll see a spaceship go by and we'll wave and then keep swimming.
That seems a perfect end.
He just gets to be a big himbo tank baby in space.
A space god.
Yes.
Space god, yes. I mean, as all space turtles are, right?
I mean, if I saw a turtle in space, I would venerate that turtle.
Yeah, I would too, yes.
There's stories about, I saw the space turtle. Yeah, I love it. Wow, that was so good.
I can't believe that we actually wrapped up all the dangling plot threads from last episode.
I know. There's a lot going on. I mean, but you know, Jay was sure to put plenty more in there just in case we ever wanted to, you know, have a sequel to this.
That's right. Get the band back together.
Yeah. So
there aren't too many games where I get to the end of the game and I'm like, oh, I'd worship that god, but I'd worship this god.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
Well, there aren't too many games where you get to make a god either, right? Right. You know, turn someone into a god. So yeah. Oh, that was so good. I'm gonna be thinking about this game for a while. But we're at time, so we should do that. We should do the outro thing. And if everybody's good. I'm Sean. I use he, him pronouns. I can be found everywhere at Sean Nittner. My game Agon is coming out in 4 days. It is it'll be available in your friendly local gaming store and on the Evil Hat website and probably Amazon and other places too. Super excited about that. I'll just grab a copy since I got one on my shelf. It's a very pretty game.
I like the way it sounds coming off the shelf. Yeah, it sounds sturdy.
Yeah, it is. It's a sturdy book. There's a nuance to the printing of this book that I absolutely adore, and that is that the pages with just text on them are totally smooth, but the pages with art on them have a slight texture to them, just ever so slightly. And what that means is that the pages with art tend to push themselves apart. So when you're just flipping through the book, what naturally happens is you naturally kind of flip from art piece to art piece. Not exclusively, but that tends to be the trend, is that you're just going through all the beautiful art, and the art in this book is just amazing. So yeah, it's not only a game I'm very proud of, but it is a physical artifact that is wonderful. So
nice.
That's me. I loved playing this game. I'm so stoked we did it. Thank you, Jay, for running it, and thank you, Dominique and Tomes, for playing with me. It was amazing. Though this series is ending, Jay will have some news about what will be happening coming up soon on Thursdays on the channel. We'll keep some stuff coming out. But before that, Dominique, what's going on with you?
I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns. And my courtroom narrative RPG called Trial is out as of just over a week ago. I've talked about it on this stream before, but just to sum it all up, it is a story game where the players play as witnesses in a murder trial, and through improv techniques and some pretty lightweight dice mechanics, construct the story of the night of the murder. And you can find that on Itch or it's linked on my Twitter, which is Dom S. Dickey. Also follow me on Twitter for just like game design bullshit and space bullshit, and there should be some like really cool pet content because I got some new members of my small family. So if you want to see some cute rats, mostly just like I'm on Twitter a lot if you want to keep up with my life. And yeah, how about you, Tomes?
Tomes, he, him. Two things. I've played Agon before and oh my God, it's so gorgeous. What a game. I have not played the trial before, but I did purchase it just before we played tonight's game. And I did read the role of the players section. And I have not read the rest of the game, but just that little part, I'm like, oh my God, like it's a beautiful sounding game. So I'm very interested to see more about that.
That means so much. Oh my God.
That took me like 2 minutes to see that. And I was so impressed by it. So I can't wait to read the rest of it. Separate from that, I do some community little RPG stuff, and so Story Games Glendale, if you are out there and you're like, oh, I want to play a game like this, maybe not like long-term games, but like a one-shot, this is the kind of stuff we do, a lot of like games on demand kind of departments and groups from different cons, we do that kind of stuff bi-weekly. So every other week we do a indie RPG night, and on the alternate weeks we do an RPG makers meetup. So check out meetup.com, Story Games Glendale. You can find me at tgrants at Twitter. That's it. I pass it over to Jay.
I'm your tour guide to the stars without number. I'm Matt Jay. My pronouns are he, him. You can find me at MattJ0 on Twitter. I will be back ideally in 2 weeks, and I'll be running Electric Bastion Land. I'm looking Woo-hoo. Forward to that. Yeah. I think that'll be fun. Oh, I'm also shipping by Acer's Light. I don't know if you can see that. I guess.
The green screen's eating it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, they came in and they look awesome. I like it. And I'm shipping those out. That's happening. I was going to try to turn off my background, but I don't know how to do that. I'm the host of the Diceology podcast. And this was one of the favorite games I've had in a long time. So I'm going to miss you guys. Thursday nights. So this was good. Thank you for playing with me.
Yeah.
Thank you for making the magic.
Thank you. This was so good. And you know, the way you make up for being, for missing, being sad about one game ending is by starting another game that is amazing as well. So I'm sure Electric Passion Land is going to be freaking awesome. And, yeah. So everybody, that's us. Tune in tomorrow. Judd and I are going to be playing Burning Wheel. Saturday, Judd and Lauren and Strash and Luke are going to be playing Rope Crown, and Saturday, and then Sunday, Jen and Morgan and Jamie and I are going to be playing Apocalypse Keys. So more stuff coming at you this week. But for now, good night all.
Atlas Unbroken, or is it? And they kissed. I don't know which two things I'm more excited about. The fact that they happened together, I guess. I mean, it was a very Matrix kind of move to kiss Atlas at the very end. But it was one of those things where it was like Chekhov's kiss. We had been playing at it for so long, and Dominique thought it was cool, and I thought it was cool, and to have that moment of real human connection just before Atlas was uploaded into the system and granted, you know, omniscience, if not omniscience, the closest thing to it. What a wonderful, wonderful game. I loved the questions of loyalties. I loved the questions of identity. I loved the mysteries we unveiled, and the ways in which our three characters all tied together and were so important, were so instrumental to the fate, to the final fate. There's definitely times you play games where you feel like you're just sort of people in a world. And I think for sandbox games, that's not even a bad thing. That's kind of the nature of a sandbox game, like Stars Without Number, that you're just people in a world. It's going to go on without you. And I very much think that we could imagine a world in which our characters didn't intervene, in which Erdos and Jan got access to the vault, in which the nanites were sold, in which Prometheus brought Draco back. Lots of things, I think, you know, we can imagine what it would have been like if we weren't there. But we took bold actions and we tried incredible things and we pulled off space shenanigans. And in the end, it really was... you know, we were the big damn heroes. Just to, you know, no other way to put it. And it was delightful. It was such a great game. Thank you, Jay, for running this amazing game, for running the faction turns, for making the feed vines, for creating these brilliant NPCs. Thank you, Tomes and Dominique, for making your amazing characters and for reflecting back on me, the things that I cared about as well. I think all of us did that. We all sort of reflected back to each other, the elements that we saw in one another's characters that we were fascinated by, and we dove into those, and that was so rewarding. And thanks to the folks in chat who gave us some cool ideas and hung out with us as we toured the stars without number.